Welcome to our AcrePro Buy Sell Tuesday, September 26th edition. It's Brian Newbert's birthday, so that's a good thing too, but we'll celebrate that. But we want to thank AcrePro.com. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner like Tom Dienhardt. I'm glad I got Tom on my team. But AcrePro Midwest Farm Group are your local farmland specialists with decades of experience in Indiana agriculture. No one knows the market better. Whether you're doing a 1031 exchange or simply buying and selling farmland, your local AcrePro agent will walk the land with you and ensure the deal is done right. So you can visit AcrePro or call Kyle Spray at 765-775-6502. That's 765-775-6502. I don't know if I'll ever do this long enough to know that all by heart, Tom, but all right. We had some fun last week. I don't know. We have fun doing this. We always get off on tangents, which is always a good thing. Last week in review, we bought that Tyron Tracy was going to get more carries than Devin Mockaby. He did, I believe. Certainly gained more yards. I think we were slightly under on the crowd. We thought we'd be at about 58,000. It was just 55 and change. Any clue of where they're going to be this week? I don't know. I would assume they're going to be in that range again. They're always a little bit more tight-lipped on the attendance numbers than they used to be. But it's also the world of StubHub and secondary markets changes everything. I think they'll be close to 58,000. The weather's supposed to be good, et cetera. Think about this, Tom, and we didn't buy sell this. Purdue's 194-yard rushing yards was the most they'd had against Wisconsin since they beat Wisconsin when they had 204 yards. That was impressive. And I think a little bit, I guess I'm going to ask you before we get into the buy sell, did that surprise you that Purdue was able to run the ball as well as it did against the Badgers, or is it just a function of hitting the lanes at the right time and making it work?
It did surprise me, but I do think, Alan, that a lot of that was maybe the way Wisconsin was playing defense.
Yeah.
A lot of three-man fronts. Didn't want to give up the big pass play.
And they didn't.
Sort of dared Purdue to run the ball, and they did. So I think a lot of it was a function of the defensive scheme of Wisconsin, but still give Purdue credit, right? And Tyron Tracy in particular, Alan. You know, we talked to Graham Harrell today. I wrote a story about Tracy, and, you know, he's been one of the most surprising guys on the team. Graham Harrell thinks he's been one of the most explosive guys they've had. And it's been an early season revelation, Alan. It's all about Devin Mockaby since about this time last year. And it's funny, man, the world was Devin Mockaby's oyster, right? And he's hit a little bit of a bump in the road. Some of his fumbling issues, and Tracy's come on. And now the depth chart lists him as oars. Yeah. Either or could start. And Tracy got the start last week. And I imagine he's going to get the start again, Alan. He's played good football, special teams too. And you know what, Alan? You know, but will be interesting to see talking to some people today is if they find a way to get Mockaby and Tracy on the field together. Because this team's – they're the two of the best playmakers you got, and you want those guys on the field. And if they can come up with ways to get those two on the field with Deion Burks, and you got Max Clair and Garrett Miller. I mean, now you're talking some nice playmakers there. So that'll be interesting to see if there are some ways they can get number 45 and number 3 on the field together at all.
Yeah, and this is not necessarily to be critical of where Purdue is in the marketplace, but you're right. You know, you've got – if you're going to score and do the things you want to do offensively, you've got to have guys who can make plays out there. I mean, I think Purdue's longest pass play was at the 20s last week. I don't know if he threw the ball more than downfield more than a couple of times. And we know that there's no Rondale Moore. There really is no David Bell in this group. We get that. Though Deion Burks is really interesting. And I guess that I'll go back to the first buy sell. We took it 10 touches as that magic number, at least in my mind. That he needs to touch the ball, whether that's, you know, 6 receptions and 4 backward or laterals that he catches on the wing, whatever it is. Are you buying or selling that he gets that this week?
I'm buying. I think they understand the need to get Burks the ball. We all know what he can do. Everybody's watched the game, knows what he can do. He is the most dynamic playmaker on this offense. Every opponent's got him circled in red, Alan. We talked to Deion today. And he gets it. He gets trash talked, and he gets it can be frustrating when you're the focus of the other team's defense, but he knows it's a sign of respect too, right?
Yeah.
So, but you know what? He talked about this too, Alan. The really good players still find a way to make plays, even if the other team's trying to take you away. So that's the challenge there, right? Is still to be effective, be a game changer, even though they're trying to take you away. So it'll be interesting to see him continue to evolve into the role as the alpha receiver. So, yeah, I'm going to buy the fact that he's going to get at least six touches here come Saturday against the Illini.
Okay, you're buying six. Now, I said 10. What do you
– Oh, 10, 10. Oh, yeah, okay.
You're buying 10?
I'm going to take 10. I'm going to buy 10,
okay.
too.
Okay.
Buy 10. I'm going to say wear them out, Alan. You know what? I was listening to James Franklin after they beat Iowa, and he said the two most important things in football, don't turn the ball over, explosive plays.
Yeah.
We're just talking about explosive plays, right? You cannot continually count on having 10, 11, 12-play drives to score. You got to get those big chunk plays, those big scoring plays. That's why a guy like Burks being a game changer is so important.
Yeah, Purdue has had very, very little of that really throughout most of this season. I mean, yes, Burks had the long reception against Fresno State, but the ability to get big plays.
Okay, Alan, here you go.
Change.
Purdue is eighth in the Big Ten in 20-yard plays. They're last in 30-yard plays, and they're 12th in 40-yard plays. Now, they lead the Big Ten in 10-yard plays.
Yeah.
See, defense is giving them those short plays, but Purdue's still been unable to get those big, big plays from scrimmage, if you will, running or passing. So there have been a lot of good things about the offense and defense, but offensively, it's been that inability to have those real big plays. I think that have really – one of the things that stood out through the first four games –
yeah, and the coordinators on the other side are figuring that out. You know, if you can't get the ball to your playmakers or you don't have enough of them, they're going to figure that out in this league. All right, speaking of defensive coordinators, and Ryan Walters was at that position last year, much documented. We've talked about that till we're blue in the face about Ryan Walters and his matriculation across I-74 and maybe past the beef house up 63 to you. I don't know how best play to go.
You
I think
go
28. I go that way, but okay. He got here and he's the head man. Brett Bielema, I think they left on, you know, Brett Bielema said the right things. It's never easy to have a guy leave and to take some of his personnel. My question, this is a silliness, but 3 minutes or more, will they spend talking to each other in public on the turf of Ross-Ade Stadium prior to Saturday's 3:30 kick?
I'm going to buy it, Alan. This is all about, like you said, it's in public. They want to look good, right?
Yeah.
They're going to maybe.
They've had a couple recruiting skirmishes. We know that. But, which is expected. But go ahead.
Sort of glare through their fake grins, if you will, right? Sort of like when politicians or political leaders meet that don't really like each other, but all the cameras are there watching. So you have to make nice, right? And I think they'll make nice. And I'm sure, I think they're still, I asked Ryan about this on Monday, and they still have a cordial relationship.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Brett Bielema, you know, has been described to me as being a hard guy to work for. He likes to micromanage. If you let him in your room, he's going to take it over. And Ryan Walters didn't want anybody fussing with his defensive room. He kept Brett Bielema out of it. So, two alpha males, right?
And yeah, just competitive people. Yeah,
they're competitive guys. So, and it's a competitive sport. So I think it'll be a cordial exchange that lasts at least 3 minutes.
All right. They may take out their
about the kids. Got to ask about the kids.
Yep, and I think that that happens, and I think it will be, and it should be a nice afternoon, a nice sunny afternoon on Saturday. They can visit for a little bit, maybe have a spot of tea while they talk. I don't know, but that will be an interesting dynamic. Obviously, both teams really need a win. I mean, that's stating the obvious. Even though Illinois has got a couple of them right, but they have really not not distinguished themselves in the last period of time. And this is going to be in Purdue. Obviously, we've talked about the Boilermakers 1-3 start. All right, we've hit this about every week, and it changes maybe a little bit with Minnesota shocking to me. Well, it was a shocking loss to Northwestern, mainly because, yes, losing Northwestern on the surface is shocking enough, but then the way they did, you know, losing that huge lead.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go back to games Purdue will be favored in. They are, as of this recording on Tuesday, the favorite against Illinois, a 2-point favorite. Are you buying they will be favored against Minnesota, Northwestern, and Indiana down the stretch?
Alan, I think
And that's looking ahead and seeing how this season's going to play out, too.
They're favored this Saturday, but my gosh. I know they're at home against Minnesota and IU, and the Northwestern game's on the road. You know what? I'm going to say they're only going to be favored in one game left. I think they'll be favored against IU at home. I think that Minnesota game here seems like a pick 'em to me.
Yeah.
I still think the Gophers are probably better, but it's on the road. And then at Northwestern, Alan, maybe Northwestern's getting its mojo here, buddy.
Yeah.
They got nothing to lose, Alan.
They got nothing to lose, and they got a good quarterback that's dangerous.
That could be a pick 'em, too. Those last three games, who knows, Alan? Maybe Purdue is like 3-6. They need to win those last three games to get to 6-6, or like Jeff Brohm did his first few years. And three games it's set up that you could win. So it's going to be interesting, but I think in my heart of hearts, Indiana does look bad, Alan. They got pushed around by Akron. Should have lost that game.
Yep.
And I'm going to say Purdue's only going to be favored one more time this year in the finale against the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I don't know that. And I think you're going, but the Northwestern and Minnesota games as of now will be very close on that line. That's probably true, or will be true, assuming things play out the way they play out. Minnesota's got to be better. They've obviously got a good ground attack, but they just let that one go, and one that PJ Fleck would like to get back.
They're at 21-0.
Yeah, and it's just hard to imagine against
get
a team
this too, Alan, that the star receiver for Northwestern, Bryce Kurz, is from Brownsburg, Indiana.
Yeah,
about 10 passes.
Yeah, yeah. So that is a. You know, I'm going to buy that Purdue. But your one thing you said, if Purdue is 3-6 going into the last three, that is going to be an accomplishment in its own right. Just because right now they're not going to be favored, certainly against Michigan, Iowa, Ohio State, and certainly in all likelihood against Northwestern as well. And I think that part of it is going to be interesting to watch because you'd have to pull an upset there, and that would be a big accomplishment.
Yeah, I don't know. Could they win at Nebraska? I mean, you're right.
Oh, they can. They could. I don't know. We don't know where Nebraska is right now.
Who knows either, too? You know, Purdue's got to be 2-3. That's non-negotiable leaving this month. And then, like you said, you got to try to find another win, and I know a win in October, maybe.
Yeah. And Iowa certainly, based on what we saw on Saturday night, tried to wrestle with Penn State, but they couldn't score. Iowa didn't score in a 31-0 loss. And I think I think Purdue will be in four quarter games in all those games. With maybe the, you know, maybe Ohio State and Michigan are going to be tough to take into the fourth quarter. But I anticipate that the other games, that they will be in those games heading down the stretch. Can they win them? That's another issue. How do you define in? My wife's watering the plants here in the back porch here, just in case you wondered. But that's part of the show here. But no, I do think that that's going to be an interesting part of that, what shakes out down the stretch for Purdue. And there's still a lot to be played.
Just look back, Alan. I just always look back at that non-conference schedule. Well, why is Purdue playing those three teams?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you don't do your staff any favors. I know these schedules are made years in advance, but I mean, it's ridiculous to play two Power Five teams and a very strong Group of Five team. I mean,
well, and
a game with Akron or a game with SEMO or Somebody, Alan, but oh man.
Well, next year they do get Indiana State to open up, I believe it is, before they get Notre Dame and Oregon State.
That's no walk, Notre Dame back. That's
no
right.
Walk in the park in 2024. In that part of the schedule, I don't see that changing. Obviously, the conference schedule is still up for grabs. But you think about that. Oregon State is really good again. Will they be in that situation next year? Probably decent. And then, of course, you've got Notre Dame coming to Ross-Ade Stadium, which will be a big game.
When's the last time they were in Ross-Ade Stadium?
That would be 2013, right? Yeah, Darryl Hazel's first year. A game where the Purdue actually led in that game for a little while. It was competitive. Notre Dame ran away at the end. Got away with it at the end. But I remember Akeem Hunt putting Purdue ahead early in that game, and things weren't looking bad for Darryl Hazel and company for a short period of time. It changed in a hurry there, though, with that game with Notre Dame. All right, any other – I've been trying to think of what other buy-sells do we have.
Alan, here's a buy-sell for you. Are you buying that Penn State should be the favorite in the Big Ten East?
Yeah, and I think – no, I still think Ohio State and Michigan are the two best teams. I just do. And I know Ohio State on Saturday night was not, outside of the Lou Holtz stuff and all that. Ohio State's still not maybe great offensively. They're not as dangerous, but they made plays at the right time. I just think they've got too much talent. I'm talking on both sides of my mouth because Penn State's got two really good running backs. Michigan is yet to, certainly showed itself to be pretty staunch against Rutgers, but I still think that those are the two class teams in that league. And
I think Notre Dame more so lost that game than Ohio State won it. But I give Ohio State credit, right? I still think Penn State's probably got the best quarterback of all three of those schools.
Really? Yeah. You like him better than J.J. McCarthy?
I do. And yeah. It's going to be so much fun watching those three schools square off. And I really would like to see Penn State just for some newness, some new blood, to see them get that banner last year, the Big Ten East, and supposed to be Franklin's best team. Talked about the running backs. They love their lines as well.
Well, 31-0 whitewashing of Iowa in the rain and all that was very impressive. I mean, don't get me wrong. I just have a hard time thinking they can get over those guys. And I know they've got Michigan on the road. Ohio State at home, right? Or it's the other way. It's either that or the other way around. But that's going to be much CTV. I'm going to throw another one at you here. Buying or selling that 6 out of the 7 teams in the Big Ten East could win the Big Ten West. Everybody but Indiana.
I don't think
that includes Rutgers.
I don't think Rutgers could.
Okay, take Rutgers out of the equation.
I think everybody else. I think Maryland could. Maryland's got a good looking team. They got the best quarterback nobody ever talks about, Tung Liabella. And then, of course, we talked about the Big Three. And
Michigan State.
There's only four, I think.
Yeah, you're right. That's a silly thing.
Worst.
But Michigan State would be.
I don't think Rutgers could win. But yeah, those other four, man, yeah. Maryland's the team that, it always sort of gets lost in the shuffle. But they Michael Oxley's got a good-looking crew. Of course, do you know that Kevin Sumlin's on that staff, right?
Glad for Kevin.
Yeah, absolutely. Coaches the tight ends there. And Maryland, I think, could. Yeah, I'm not so sure how good Wisconsin is, to be honest with you. They look good Saturday night. I mean, Friday night over here, but I don't know how good they are, Alan. The Big Ten West is the typical Big Ten West, sort of a mess of mediocrity. And if somebody can really get their mojo going and get things lined up, maybe that team will be Wisconsin. Then they can maybe rise up and win this thing. That's why there's still hope for Purdue, right? The loss hurts, but there's still plenty of time for the Boilermakers to be a factor in a division that looks like it's just filled with mediocrity once again.
Yeah, Wisconsin and Iowa face off next, I think the following week, right? So that will be telling as well. Yeah, I don't know. Iowa obviously took a step back. Maybe it was just a bad performance. Their defense still is really good. We get that even in a 31-0 loss. You got Cade McNamara. He just couldn't muster any points in kind of funny conditions. It wasn't terrible there at Happy Valley. For half the game, it was pretty wet, but still wasn't all that wet for Penn State. So, that's an interesting storyline. And yeah, I kind of misspoke there, because certainly Michigan State is pretty awful right now. I'm not sure that the Spartans are, how many more games the Spartans are going to win this year.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Alan. Yeah, are you buying or selling? Are we going to get Drew Brees here on Saturday?
You know, I keep hearing. I'm hoping so, but I'm hearing not. Okay. And yet I would talked about it post game last week that he was coming, because I think that was the initial plan. Drew has a Tom Dienhart has an action packed social schedule, but Drew's might be up a notch, and. You know, I it's too bad, because, you know, Drew had so much to do. If he can't make it, I know the ceremony for the Tiller Tunnel is going to be a private ceremony before the game, which is, I'm sure they'll do some video recording of that.
Yeah, I heard they're going to show a video of it at some point in the game.
And I know that they have, you know, a lot of that group will be back. Of course, Kelly Kitchell, friend of the program, so to speak, will be has been a big, big part of helping that group. And certainly Drew Brees has, too. Let's be honest. And part of the fundraising came a big part came from Drew and then matching gifts. But Jason Lorizel, there are many others.
Have you heard about any other players coming back?
I have not specifically. I would assume that Edwin Watson and some of those other guys, even I don't know that Kyle Orton or anybody else from later on is going to be there. It seemed to me it was more focused on the guys in the late 1990s, early 2000s. Sean Phillips, obviously the honorary captain, right, this week. If he does shout, he'll get them going a little bit. I thought that was good and kind of a moribund Ross Age Stadium, with the two golfers Tyler Duncan and Adam Schenck did a good job, not as good as Dave Shondell a few years ago, but close in terms of getting it going. But I think that'll be a fun part of Saturday. Sean Phillips and company will be there, so I don't honestly know what the whole group is. I know there's alums coming all the way back from the Rose Bowl team and from 1967. That group always gets together. There's a lot of different guys coming back, and that is one good thing that Ryan, I think that Ryan Walters kind of reestablished. Not that Jeff Brohm didn't have it, but he really wants that alumni involvement. Talked about in his first statement on his press conference, and I think that the guys really feel welcome coming back. And I know several alums that are coming. I just don't know I don't know specifics on the Tiller group. I'm sure Chris Kloptin as well, former athletic department employee, will be there as well. We'll see. It'll be a fun part of that.
And of course, Arnett Tiller is going to be here.
I think that's great. I mean, I think she was quietly, maybe not so quietly, wanting as much recognition and deservedly so. I mean, this is the woman that came up with Boiler Up. And as funny as that sounds, she's the one that really got that saying going, and now it's part of the vernacular. But she's also was such a big part of that program there were some great, as they always say, but behind any great man is a great woman and vice versa. But there were some great women on that staff, Amy Spack, Arnett Tiller, some people that were really dedicated to making it a great experience for the kids. You know, Arnett did so much with tutoring and things like that, making sure that guys were getting things taken care of academically. She was the team mom and then some, but there were others that were a big part of that, big part of that as well. And that was part of the reason why it was good. And I'm sure that Ryan Walters wants that type of environment to different world in 2023 as opposed to what it was from 1997 to 2008. But that group certainly distinguishes.
Alan, just a golden era, an era that I know we say we will, the likes of which we'll never see again. I hope not. But just listening you talk about that engagement from the spouses, and I mean, that's, again, and what went on the field, the feel-good vibe, what it meant to the university, what it meant to the Big Ten, changed Big Ten football. I mean, you want to talk about a transformative era, especially on those first 4 years, 97 and 2000. To my heart, were really special for a lot of reasons. It's always fun on the ascent, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always tough on the descent.
No, none of us saw it like that. And then it sort of flattened out a little bit. Then those last 4 years arced down. But still, man, 97 and 2000 were really special. 2003 was special. But yeah,
yes, no question.
Just a great time.
Well, you know, and Joe Tiller, I can remember him saying that, you know, hey, and that was, and again, you know this more than I do because you've been around so many college football programs, but the fact that we actually got to talk to those guys, it's just a different time. Social media changed a lot of that. Not that Ryan Walters' staff isn't personable. They seem to be, and you're closer to them than I am. But these guys, and we didn't invade their personal space, but they were, it just was different. And you knew kind of what they were thinking. And I can remember Joe Tiller saying, maybe publicly, I can't even remember, but I do remember him saying at one time, maybe during that 4 year stretch, he goes, there'll be a day when we don't win, when we have losing seasons here. And it didn't happen until 2005. He only had two of them. But it is tough on the ascent and then the descent, which certainly 2008 wasn't the year that Joe Tiller won. They weren't as competitive the last 4 years. But looking back at how it was from 2009 to 2017 or 16, it still wasn't bad.
I don't think people realize how tough a guy he was. And you know what, too, Alan, we don't have to keep going here if you don't want, but
no,
you know, I know some people wanted Tiller to have a statue. You know what, in some ways, I think this tunnel's better.
I think it is, too. And I stand corrected.
Every home game, you see Tiller Tunnel.
And I think so, too.
I think it's better.
I agree. I'm buying that all the way. And I was with you. I'm a little bit more, as much as I love guys to be honored, and there are others, I think Leroy Keyes is one that should have a permanent, not because, yes, because he finished on the podium twice and he was the only back-to-back consensus All-American at Purdue, but what he meant to the program and what he meant to African-American kids, what he meant to all kids, I think he deserves one. But for different reason than a Joe Tiller. And I think you're exactly right. Joe Tiller's Tiller Tunnel, that will be talked about, is talked about every time they come out. And you're going to see that. I think Arnett wanted something big. I mean, they'd obviously named the street after him also on the north end of the stadium. But I think this is great. And whoever came up with the idea, and whether it was Tim House, whether it was members of that group, I'm not sure, but whoever did, I think it's a home run. And sure, I'm glad. And yet I'm careful, you know, John Wooden deserves a statue.
He's got one.
And because of also what he meant and that message, but I think you got to be really careful and around campuses of how many you put up, but this is perfect and solve both problems in a big way. So I agree with that a lot. You know what? Zach Edey takes to the national championship. They might put a statue of Zach.
They may rename Mac Arena's Edey Arena.
Yeah. But well, that's the cart way ahead of the horse. And on that note, we're going to put an end to this thing. Tom and I, this is like our staff meeting half the time. We enjoy doing this more than anything, but it's fun to do. And we always have an interesting bent to this. We want to thank Acre Pro, Kyle Spray, and the folks at Acre Pro. You can visit acrepro.com or call 765-775-6502. When it comes to land sales, it pays to have experts in your corner. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. I hear from, got some people over at the West Lafayette, Wellness Center, which is close to my house, and two or three people that are regular podcast listeners, and they say how much they enjoy this. I don't pay them to say that stuff too, so it's unsolicited, but I appreciate that. They like Newbert stuff too, and obviously they do. It's all good, and we appreciate our audience. And a reminder while you're at it, why don't you subscribe? We have a special going on, a 50% off special on goldenblack.com this week for a year-long subscription. It's worth your money just to be a part of the, read what Tom and Brian are writing, but also our message boards. A lot of fun. It's a great community. They fight amongst each other now and then, yes, but we've been blessed to have this group with us since 2001 and actually since 1998. And that is a great thing. So think about subscribing as well. Have a great rest of your week. And we'll look forward to all the coverage leading into Purdue, Illinois on Saturday, the battle for the cannon. the toy cannon. I don't know why. It was always Jimmy Wynn to me in baseball. So yeah. I don't know. I don't know if that's what somebody said it's the cannon. And of course it's been going on since 1943, since Purdue won that game with an undefeated Purdue team back in the 40s. So have a great week, everybody. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next week on our AcrePro.com buy sell.